Today we're finishing up a series called Find Your Way Back to God. Finding Your Way Back to God. See, I knew I had it wrong in my notes. Let me catch you up to speed on what it's been, okay, over the past 5 weeks. The first week we talked about awakening to longing. So this whole series is kind of based on the idea that as we find our way back to God, which is the mission statement of this church, that there are like five awakenings that we all have in the process. And the first is really to discover that we believe, all of us inherently, every person in the world just has this knowledge that there must be something more. And that's where faith kind of begins. That's where your journey back to God really kind of begins, as you discover the longings for love, purpose, and meaning, and that they're given by God. That sense within all of us that there's more to life than what we can see is actually placed in us by our Creator. It's kind of weird. Second week, we talked about awakening to regret. And I forgot to mention, this whole series has been kind of taking step by step. There's a story in the Bible about, it's called the lost son or the prodigal son. And he awoken to this longing that he had for life that was more, but pursued it in the wrong ways. So he told his dad that he wanted his inheritance, which in that time in the world, time and place in the world, was basically like saying, "You're dead to me, Dad." And this person eventually found that they regretted that decision. They regretted leaving home and pursuing the longings that they have in the wrong way. So we can tend to do the same thing, and we get stuck in what we call a sorry cycle between like a longing that we have and regret for trying to fulfill that longing the wrong way. And everybody does it. Everybody on earth does it, tries to fulfill a longing that we have the wrong way. But the good news is that we can start over. So we are a Christian church. We believe in Jesus. We believe he is the way, the truth, and the life. So the third week we talked about awakening to help. And we really have to like admit that we need help. We need help. I mean, if you aren't at that place, like, this is a group of people that believes that we are not perfect. The church is not for perfect people. If it were, I would for sure not be able to be the pastor of it and would not be able to even be a part of one. It's not a country club for saints. It's like a hospital for sinners. You know, you've heard that phrase before, maybe. Then last week, Julie, snaps if you were here, talked about awakening to love and finally brought some good preaching to this place for once. Thank you, Julie. awakening to love is in the story of the prodigal son. The moment when he returns home, the father is scanning the horizon, waiting for him to come back, runs towards him, bear hugs him, which is the last thing you would expect when you're coming home after having told your dad, "You're dead to me," and was greeted with a party, was given the family ring, which is like he was accepted back into the community. That really at that time, the normal practice was to take a big vase thing and smash it before that person got into the city gates and to tell them that you've broken this community and you're no longer a part of us. You are dead to us. But this story, this father in the story represents God the Father in our lives. Hi, ladies. How are you? I'm just going to give you a wave here. What's up? What's cracking? Let's give a snap for my friends here. Yep. One of you is Asia. One of you is something else. And one of you is something else. Y'all have names. Y'all have names. So I hope you feel welcome. Hey, you know what? You're in a great place because everybody here has names. Some are weirder than others, as Philip alluded to. But back to where I was, our identity is not in what we do, as Julie talked about last week. It's our identity is rooted in the truth that we're profoundly and unconditionally loved and accepted children of God. And so today, the last part of the series, I get to talk about awakening to life. So Julie, let's just give a snap for that friend, that girl, that woman, that person of God. She just breathes life, exudes life, exudes God's love, and it was so good for us to hear you talk about that, Julie, but your life really is like evidence of God's love before you speak a word. So I just want to say blessings to you again, sister, for taking it last week. And Yeah, and since I wasn't here and Julie mentioned it, that I like to make jokes, so I guess I got to try and make like twice the quota of jokes today. So I'm going to be digging deep. I'm going to be digging deep for my dad jokes. Hopefully you guys can survive that. But let me tell you about a few times that I felt truly alive. Some of them I can't say. Obviously, one of the moments on a regular basis has to be my 49cc hog. I don't have a picture for you, but my moped. Do y'all remember seeing me whip around the streets of Wyoming in that thing? Man, people were just like, that guy's the bomb. I felt so alive on my moped with my hair flowing and listening to my Rage Against the Machine. That was always my moped songs. Like, what am I? I love it, whatever. I felt super alive when I asked the girl to prom in high school. It wasn't my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time, so it wasn't a big deal. But when I asked her to prom, I felt so alive. But she did never answer me. She never said no. She never circled back to at least say, hey, I'm not going with you. I went stag. I went stag that year and had Wendy's for dinner. But don't feel bad for me. It was awesome. I could say more. Oh, wait, since I'm there, I felt even more alive that year when I went to Goodwill and bought some black pants, and I cut them off like Daisy Duke style, and then I got Velcro and sewed it on. Since I didn't have a date, I had a lot of time on my hands, okay? And I tried to make it so that when I went onto the dance floor, I could party boy and rip them off and then just be like in my Daisy Dukes. I didn't do a very good sewing job. And so by the time I got to the front of the line, and prom line is like 2 hours long, I get to the front of the line and my little white thigh is just showing. They're like, change. I'm like, come on, like, what's up with that? But nonetheless, I felt alive in the process, if that counts anyways. But, and, you know, I really felt alive when I bought $1 million in Dogecoin stock. I didn't buy any, by the way. Holy, somebody has to explain what cryptocurrency is to me. Not right now, but please tell me. I didn't buy any. I'm kidding there. But we all have those moments in life. Mine are, I will admit, weirder than maybe yours might be, that we feel alive. Maybe you made the team. Maybe you graduated. Maybe you had a wedding day. Maybe you asked that person to prom, and they said yes to you, or even no. That'd be helpful to know that, too, wouldn't it? The birth of a baby, landing of a dream job, vacation that you finally got to take, all of us can point to moments when we just, like, feel alive. Like, think about that for you. What is that? If you got to do anything in the world right now that makes you feel alive, what would it be? Like, we love those moments, and we wish that they could last forever. I'm always in the search for, like, a new weird hobby or something that's going to just give me life. Marsha's looking at me like, yeah, you are, and it's a little annoying. Marsha's my wife, by the way. Jesus came that we could have life and life to the fullest. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this, that the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because when you think about Jesus or religion or Christianity sometimes, you think it might just be about the rules, but it's so much more than that. I think it's about a God who sent his son Jesus to bring a good life for us, like a deep life, like 49cc moped hog life to us. Some translations actually say about this phrase, that Jesus came that we may have a rich and satisfying life or an abundant life. Like, what do you think about when you think of abundant life or full life? I think we probably tend to think of the word maybe more. Like a rich and satisfying life sounds like more money in the bank account, maybe another stimmy perhaps, or more satisfying relationships, a better job, more beach vacations. Can I get an amen to that one? Like, as a culture, we love the word more, right? And marketers know this too. Like we get those Facebook ads. They're listening. Like get more cash back using this credit card or 25% more Doritos when you buy the jumbo bag. Did anybody watch Parks and Rec in here? Like that one of my favorite shows. Do you remember like Sweetums, the Sweetums cup? Like when they did the like child size as like 512 ounces of pop. Like I absolutely love that show. But we believe that life is better. Actually, you know, why don't I read it? Because this is funny. How is this a child size? She says, well, it's roughly the size of a two-year-old child. It says liquefied after that, but I thought that'd be kind of weird to have on screen, so I took that off there. But welcome to the circus. Angie, you can remove that from the slide, please. Thank you. The original language of the New Testament has two words for life, and one of those words is bios. That means like the physical life, the chronological life. The average bio's life includes this, these numbers. This is crazy. The average life of a human being is like 250 hours of sleep. That goes down the older you get, and if you have kids, but it does. 76,000 meals, 200,000 trips to the bathroom, 300,000 if you're me, 670 million breaths. Like, our life is just full of a lot of stuff, isn't it? I Googled it, if you ask where I got those numbers from. All of that is a part of the bios life. And we certainly hope to have a long physical life, right? That our life will be happy and that we'll live a long time. And it is a gift to be alive. But how true is it that life is so much more than what the bios life can be? Like, we can go through life without having life go through us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can feel, I guess, kind of dead on the inside. The other word in the New Testament for life in the Bible is the word Zoe. Is anybody named Zoe in here? Okay, because you're about to feel really awesome the rest of this talk. Zoe includes the bios life, but it goes beyond it. Like, bios life is about, like, the quantity of life that you have, and more of the same thing, but Zoe is about the quality of life that like only comes from God. And I think we kind of get a taste of that a little bit with like the stuff that makes us come alive, you know? If God created everything, then there certainly should be stuff that we can tap into to like get more of that Zoe life. But this Zoe life like ultimately refers to a spiritual life for sure, but like eternal life, too. The kind of life that you were made for that never ends. I used to volunteer for a youth organization called Young Life. Any Young Lifers in here, anybody? I'll just snap for myself then. Thank you. But they had a statement that says, their like mission statement is, you were made for this, which I think is just such a sweet tagline for an organization. The Zoe life is the life that you were made for. And when Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest, guess which word he uses there? The Zoe life. That Jesus has come that you will have the life that you were created for, that we were created for. Jesus is talking about the intended quality of life that God wants for us. Not just the same old life, not just more of the motions, but to be truly alive. As a sappy daddy, I can name a million moments with my kids when you like get it, like things click and you're like, oh, there it is. Like, that's what life is all about. When I showed a video of my kids laughing a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I don't even know how to describe how beautiful that is. Like, that just feels like that higher Zoe life. So when you find your way back to God, you discover that you're on a journey towards the Zoe life, the higher life, the eternal life. Life comes from God. And we around here sometimes use the phrase that the best is yet to come. And when you hear us say it, it's not because we don't think that our lives are going to have challenges, but it's because we believe that there's more and more Zoe life ahead of us. So in the story that we have been talking about over these last 4 weeks and into today, it's the story of this lost son that we've been looking at. And throughout the series, there really is a contrast of like Bios life, the physical life here, the life that he tried to fulfill the longings with by going off and having wild living, and then the Zoe life that plays out. Check this out. In Luke 11, this is at the very beginning, or excuse me, Luke 15, the very beginning of our story, when Jesus begins to narrate the story, it says, there was a man who had two sons. You may already know that from the series. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. I did a little digging, and this is kind of crazy. That the Greek word for property there is bios. It's like life. It's that life that we were talking about, that physical life. So it like literally says that this father in the story divided his life, like every asset that he had, between his children, between the two of them. This whole story of this son who gets his inheritance and leaves home and tries to fulfill those longings with the wrong things is about a person who realizes that bios is not enough. Amen? That there has to be more to life. And this more is the Zoe life that God is and that he offers to us. God doesn't want us to settle for the bios life, for the same old life, for just going through the motions, for being bored. He created us for more. Does anybody like horror movies in here? More power to you. They scare me. I can't do it. Although I like The Ring. The Ring was a good movie. If that's like considered a horror movie, I don't know. But I've heard that if you pay attention, that the horror genre in film, books, and movie, you can discover the number one fear of that culture. So if you pay attention to like what's popular in a given culture in the horror movies that are played, you can discover like what's the number one fear of that culture at that time. And I've also heard that the number one type of horror movies and TV shows recently has been about zombies. Zombies. Like this little guy. Remember him? The I Like Turtles guy. Remember when the internet, when just one thing would go viral like per week and then you all were just on the same page? That was so great. Like, but the I Like Turtles kid, still funny. Still internet gold right there. But it makes sense that zombies are like, in recent years up to this point, I think probably from this point for the next few years, it might be like, I don't know, global pandemic is maybe the thing that horror movies might be about. But it makes sense that like that has been like the number one fear recently, right? You got like Zombieland, World War Z, The Walking Dead, the fear of The Walking Dead, which is literally the same thing, but still whatever. Warm Bodies. Did anybody see Warm Bodies? I knew you would up there. Did you cry like me? Good, thank you. We can all cry. Whoever's seen that movie, meet me up front afterwards, and we'll all cry together about how ironically touching that movie is. But it's fascinating that zombies is like the thing that our culture, if this is true, is like most freaked out about. It kind of points to something, doesn't it? The idea of something looking alive but being dead on the inside. It's like terrifying to us. At the end of this story, there's so much in this prodigal son story that I'm not going to cover. But at the end of the story, the older brother comes back into the picture. You kind of forget about him because we're focused on the brother that went away. And he was mad. Any one of us probably would be, but he was mad that his younger brother came back and that his dad threw a party for him because he had said, "You're dead to me, Dad," and he had left and squandered the inheritance and all that story. But I want to read you the end of the story because it's really fascinating how this idea of like Zoe and another word that I'll explain in a minute comes into play. It says, but he answered his father. So this is after like this brother realizes there's a party happening for his younger brother. He comes to his dad and he's PO'd. So he says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Because that's all we ever want, right? It's just a young goat so we can celebrate with our friends. But when this son of yours has squandered your property, right, that bios, that same word that I was talking about earlier, with prostitutes and comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. And it says, the father responds, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours, I love that like the older brother, like he doesn't say my brother. Go to the last one a minute, Angie, if you can. The older brother said, no, sorry, other direction. There we go. How the older brother who's like ticked at his younger brother says, this son of yours. He doesn't even like call him his brother. He's disowned him. He's dead to him. But then the father flips it and says this, verse 32 here. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead. And that word dead is nekros in Greek. I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right, but I think that's how you say it. But it means like a corpse, like spiritually dead, like perhaps a zombie, maybe. But this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, and he was lost but is found. The word alive there, again, doesn't just mean like he is like physically died and he has like extra bios life, but he's like the alive that we're talking about, Zoe. That is alive word, if you go back to the Greek too, means the same thing as Zoe, that he is now like awakened to life. He's alive, like that life that we're all looking for, that we all long for, this father is saying this son had. And so they had to celebrate because his life was changed. This story is about a person who was spiritually dead but who came back to life. There is an ancient story in the Bible that's even older than the prodigal son story. But the theme reminds me a lot of this story. It's found in Ezekiel 37. And I'm not going to give you even the context of it because you're just going to get it. It's going to hit you. It's just such a beautiful story. So I want to read this story to you as it relates to like death and life. Ezekiel was a prophet, and he's talking about God taking him out to this place. So it says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? So you get the picture. God takes this prophet out, gives him this vision of this valley of dead bones. And I was going to try and fill the stage with bones, but that would be super weird to show you this a little bit. And this is God setting up this moment to show that he is Lord of even dead things. So, where are we? Go back a minute. Sorry, I think I didn't finish that out. Thanks, Angie. He asked, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, only you know. Next. Then he said to me, prophesy. So the word prophesy, sometimes in the biblical sense, can mean like calling out things in the future that will happen. Sometimes it just means like proclaiming truth. And I did a little digging into that word too. And it means to like either speak or sing, which I love, speak or sing like proclaimed truth. So when you're prophesying about something true, you can sing it like we've been doing today. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come up, come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. Now these are going to be my bones right here. They're actually drumsticks. A rattling sound. And the bones came together bone by bone. And I looked and saw tendons appear on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up to their feet, a vast army. This word life in that story is the Hebrew Old Testament version of the same sort of thing, this resurrection that happens to these dry bones. And I love that image of the rattling bones, don't you? That's just like, that's theatrical movie stuff right there. Like, the bones began to rattle when they were about to come back to life. And I think we probably have some people in here today whose bones are dry. Maybe it feels like your whole life, maybe it's just one area of your life where your bones are dead dry. And I think that some of us are wanting to find the Zoe life maybe for the first time. And here we are. I think if we could hear it, we probably have this happening in the room right now. But that's the sound of your life about to start over. That's the sound of God about to resurrect the stuff in your life that has been dead for so long. That's the sound of life and life to the full finally being able to enter into your heart and enter into your life. The thing that you've been looking for is here. The one that gave breath to all of us is here in this place, speaking to you, and wants to give you that life that you've been looking for. So does anybody feel like their bones are dead and dry? Do you feel necros? Do you feel spiritually dead? Do you feel like a zombie? My friends, it's time for Zoe. It's time for life and life to the fullest. It's time for Jesus. The Zoe life comes from the God that can reassemble you bone by bone, tendon by tendon, so that you can stand and breathe and come out of the grave and truly live. Jesus has authority over everything. He's the co-creator, the triune God, created the universe, breathed life into us, and our brokenness helps, that causes us to forget and to die a little bit. But with the resurrection of Jesus, there's a promise that comes for eternal life, and that's something worth focusing on, that when we die, that's not the end of the story. That's a beautiful, beautiful hope. If you've ever lost somebody, you know that that is a hope that you have to cling to hard. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us hope that we can see the people that we're separated from again. And in this story, Jesus tells us about a father who throws a story for or excuse me, throws a party for a lost son. He's been waiting for his son to awaken to life, to receive the offer of Zoe life. And I truly believe, guys, that Jesus is the source of that. I haven't tried everything in life, neither have you, but I've tried a lot of things. And I believe that he is the source of the thing, the life, the more that we're looking for. And that there's a God who has run towards you, who has gladly carried you home. Do you remember that a couple weeks ago? That God gladly carried the son home, has given you good clothes and the family ring and the key to the home. God loves you. The creator, the one who designed you, who knit you together in your mother's womb, who decided where you'd live and who you'd be born to, what body your soul would be assigned to. Like, oh, God loves you. And he's waiting to throw a party to celebrate your return to life. And that may be for the first time, but maybe, like me, you've been a Christian for a long time and you just have felt dead for forever. It's time to sing to our dry bones. It's time to sing. Hear the word of the Lord. Live. God wants to give you life and life to the fullest. Awakening to life means that nothing can separate you from God's love. It means that you're heading towards freedom from any addiction that you might have. It means that people can say whatever they want about you, but God has the final say. It means that all the beauty in the world has purpose. That God made it for you to know him. My invitation to all of us today, whether it's for the first time realizing that Jesus is the source of the life that you've been looking for, or if it's just for today, if you've been a Christian for a long time and you just woke up feeling dead this morning, my invitation to you is to awaken to the life that God offers you. And the weird thing is it's really just receiving it. You know how that prodigal son, his father ran to him, gave him the hug? He didn't do anything to deserve it, neither did any one of us, right? We just have to open up our arms and receive the love and the freedom and the life that God has to offer. And I promise you, it's honestly part of being a pastor is tricky, because we get to a point like this, and the pitch that I'm making is just believe, and then God will do the rest. I can't control it. I'm not in control of what happens in your heart. It's empowering and freaky at the same time. And awesome. So I pray right now for everybody in here and everybody maybe watching online or who will listen to it later, that your dry bones will live, that you will receive it and feel it, that God wants you to have life and life to the fullest today. I want to give you a couple of next steps, though. So we're finishing up this series today. And one of the primary ways that we celebrate this, like, awakening to life, this going from death to life in the Christian community, is through a thing called baptism. Jesus was baptized, and it was really a symbol of the old person going into the water and the new person coming out. And so we celebrate that practice. That we actually often ask when we do baptism, like, what are you leaving dead in the water? Like, how sick is that? I think that's a Sierra. But it's one of the most beautiful symbols of a life that of a person's life that is awakening to this Zoe life that we've been talking about. So I want to give an invitation to you, whether you know what baptism is or not, to come talk to us about this. If you're awakening to want to follow Jesus and believe in this good news, then this is a beautiful way to celebrate that. We also do a thing called infant baptism. And I kind of wish maybe back when they decided this was going to be a normal practice that we would have used a different word than baptism for it. But I didn't grow up with child baptism at all. I was unfamiliar with it until I came into the Harbor Church's circle, because I thought, like, how can a kid choose to be baptized, right? But the beauty of the symbol of my son has been baptized and our daughter will be baptized as well, but is if you almost look at, like, baptizing a child is handing them the engagement ring. And it's saying you're engaged to profess your faith and you get to make the decision if you want to celebrate your choice to follow Jesus with the water of baptism again in the future, or if you want to do it some other way. It really is a symbol of this community saying, yes, we love you and embrace you, young child, before you even have the choice to screw anything up. So I think it's beautiful for that reason. I can certainly answer more questions if you have any more about that. But we're going to have a meeting about baptism after May 9, the service on May 9. But if you're feeling a nudge towards that, please come and talk to me. Talk to Roger and Julie or Ginger, Chris in the back. And we'd love to process that with you if you're feeling kind of a nudge towards that. For everybody else, too, Roger and Julie shared their story of serving, and we're not asking you to enter into one of these teams because we're desperate. We're not. We could use people to help with this, but it's an opportunity to join the mission and to use your Zoe life in a way that actually gives life. It's weird. I could share my story of where that began, but the weird thing about joining a team as a part of the church to contribute to the family here is really you might start in order to offer something, but you're given so much more in return when you get to roll on the floor with kids in the basement or greet people with a smile at the door who have had a crappy week or help set up all this beautiful gear so that we can have this celebration together. I want to invite you, if you're not a part of a team, to, again, go back to the connecting point in the back, just in that corner, to see what ways you might be able to join that. And then this is, Julie, you reminded me last week when you were talking this next one. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, we can give you a physical copy of one. I have two Bibles with me that I brought just in case somebody wanted one. They're Bibles of my own that I would love to give to you if you want one. But there's no better way to, like, know the Zoe life that Jesus has to offer than, like, reading the words of Jesus for yourself. So I just want to invite you to, like, begin to read the Bible and then ask questions. Like, this is a living community here that, like, is following Jesus together. And if you're confused or you have tension about, I still have tension about a lot of things in the Bible where I'm like, I don't understand that. It's okay, and you're in a good place to be able to have those doubts and still believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then the last is to end with this prayer. We've done a prayer every week that I would love to have be a next step for you, that this week you would pray, God, if you are real, make yourself real to me. Awaken in me the confidence that I can live a brand new life.